It's August the 3rd, and I'm here in the city of Charlottesville with Taylor Yowell. And we have two students with us today. We have Alex Lay and Olivia with us today. And we are going to begin our interview today. Mrs. Yowell has just stated that she's been in this position as acting registrar since April, and so there's an understanding that she may need to seek additional information as needed as we ask questions. So the first question is broad and open-ended. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election for 2021? Is it personnel? Is it equipment? Is it safety? It could be any of those things.
I think the biggest concern, like, in our office right now is COVID concerns with the rates rising again. We actually have new EPDs, so those were great for this past election, so our equipment's not an issue. Our office staff is awesome. We've had the same office staff for a few years now, with very minimal overturn, so it's not anything with our office here. We have a huge number of election officials and that we had apply to work the November 2020 general election, and most of them actually have stayed on, where a lot of localities theirs had left or only wanted to do that one just with all of the craziness going on.
Yes.
A lot of ours have actually stayed, so we have close to 400 election officials. Wow. And we only have 9 precincts, so we have a ton of people to choose from and work with, so that's not a big concern for us. I would say as of right now, though, just talking with my EOs and everyone here, that COVID spiking back up is definitely our biggest concern at the moment. So we're hoping more voters will go to the mail option rather than wanting to go to the polls.
And as a follow-up to that, you feel adequately staffed to handle mail-in ballots here in the office?
Absolutely, yeah. We're already working on packaging everything that goes inside of the ballot packs, without the ballot, of course, but it has all the other materials, you know, stamping envelopes, getting everything ready so that way once ballots are proofed and printed, they can just be stuffed right in and they're ready to mail out.
Okay. Do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective office?
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
So the answer to that would be yes, okay. Okay, the county election board is supposed to consist of 2 Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor, which is what we have now.
Yep.
But in some areas, boards are having trouble finding that required makeup and have appointed independents instead or another Democrat. What is the situation in the city?
From what we have now, we do currently have the 2 Democrats and the 1 Republican on our board. I know we have no issues whatsoever recruiting the Democratic members. I'm not 100% positive about the Republican members. I don't believe there's ever been an issue with recruiting someone here in Charlottesville.
Okay.
But since I've been here, there has been no troubles with that, and our board is great.
Okay, wonderful. What about precinct staff? Are you able to have an equal number of Democrats and Republicans?
No, we are not. We are heavily favored with having Democratic election officials and have a hard time getting Republican election officials. We do have a large number of independent, but I would say a majority of our EOs are Democratic.
And in what ways does your office try to remedy this? Do you put ads in the paper seeking to get that election parity? Do you send representatives to Republican meetings to say, hey, we have these openings, we really need you? Like, what remedies do you see to that?
So we have been in talks with, and this has been ever since I started, like prior to the November general election last year. We've been in talks with the chair of the Republican Party here in Charlottesville, trying to recruit members and to get him to let his members know to please apply here in Charlottesville.
Okay, and what about observers from both sides? Do you find that you have an equal number of Republican and Democrat observers inside and outside the polling locations?
Definitely not equal number. So we would have, for example, if we have, you know, two observers from the Democratic Party at one precinct, then we might have one member for the Republican Party. But we also have a table outside of every precinct for the Democratic Party, and they have multiple people there. There's a table outside for the Republican Party, but that Republican observer inside will also, like, go outside and just check on that table. There's not, definitely not an equal number in order to have anywhere near what the Democratic Party has here in Charlottesville.
Okay. Is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near elections?
Year-round.
Do they have monthly meetings?
They do.
And are those monthly meetings, are the minutes posted online? Mm-hmm.
They are.
And are there public notices of the meeting?
They are, yes. When we post the agenda, it automatically sends a notification for anyone that has signed up for it. So I know, like, the party chairs are signed up, like our office staff, the League of Women Voters, there's a bunch of people that have signed up to get those notices. But anyone could sign up for it.
When was the last audit of the voter file in your county? Or how often are you doing an audit of the, like, the voter rolls?
Mm-hmm. The state just did their, talking about, like, when, with the purging or...
Yeah, everything, like, where you're just cleaning it all up mm-hmm. for elections.
So the state just did one. When was theirs? Give me just a second.
It's okay. Because every office does it differently. I'm gonna say it was maybe all told June. Me something different how they do it.
Yeah, the state did theirs, I believe, in June. And we go behind and double check. And then our staff has day-to-day operations that they go through and check. And it really just depends. Everyone has a different role here.
Okay. For the day-to-day checks, could mm-hmm. you tell me what that would entail? Mm-hmm. Because that's sort of an audit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we work in accordance with every other locality here in Virginia. So if someone is registering here, then you're just going back through, checking over to make sure they're not registered somewhere else. Or if they are, then you would transfer them out of the other locality into your own. You are checking to make sure they are not a felon or any sort of thing and that they are eligible to register here in Charlottesville. If we get any sort of correspondence back that was sent out, then there's a notice put into our online system or software. And so that flags it into the software. So that way mm-hmm. they're put on there that they need to confirm that that is their address. If, for example, if a piece of mail can't get delivered, or it makes them to where they are then an inactive voter. So they could, after two federal elections, be purged from the list. It's more of the day-to-day.
Yeah, sounds like that. How many registered voters do you have in Charlottesville? Just off, just curious.
About 34,000.
Okay. Does the health department for the city of Charlottesville send a list of deceased people to your office every month so that they can be removed from the voter roll?
If they, let me ask Josh. If they do, I have not seen it. That does not mean we don't get it.
It just means you don't currently.
Can you get a list of deceased voters that come from the health department every month?
From vital statistics? Mm-hmm. I mean, get what comes to where it is. I guess there's probably a report we can pull out of it.
Okay.
But we don't get like a paper in there.
Okay. We get a sort of notification that comes through our statewide database. I'm not sure if that comes from the health department and sends it to them, who, like, right. gets it to us. I'm not sure of that whole dynamic.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. Olivia, would you like to ask questions 10 through 14?
Okay. When was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
There have been none since I have been here, which was in September of 2020.
When was the last time you had access to the national change of address list or any other change of address list?
Just a second. So it was done as of July 2nd. I knew it was recent. I just didn't know the date to tell you.
Okay. Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
Yes, absolutely.
How many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
Ooh, I do not know about that.
It's okay. A lot of individuals have to look it up and give it to us later.
Yes, I can get it to you later. Give me just a second. Let me write that down. If that's okay.
Yes, that'd be fine. If you just send us a total number, obviously there are assisted living facilities or group
right.
homes where there would be multiple numbers.
So you said more than 7.
More than
in
7.
One
address.
Yes. Okay. Got it.
During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
When we start entering everything in, when they register to vote, they are required to give a full social security number. And then we verify with their social, date of birth. We check to make sure that they have not been a convicted felon. We enter everything into the system. The state does like an overcheck. They take anywhere from 3 to 5 days to confirm all of this. When they do register with us, they are required to register with some sort of ID, and we just confirm because 90% of them come in here to our office with us.
What happens when someone doesn't give their social security number on the form?
It is originally rejected if they don't give their social security number. There are very slim amount of voters and they don't have a social or can't find their social, and then it would be a long process with the state trying to figure out what to do for them. It's not a ton we do in that sense. Because it is required on that form, and so if it's rejected, then that's kind of when the long battle entails in figuring out what their next steps would be. Because sometimes there is reasonings, you know, if they don't have a social, then these are the steps that they would take, or if they just can't remember what it is, these are the steps that they would take, so.
Okay. Alex, would you like to ask the next 3 questions?
Okay. There are 3 types of voting machines used in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me which machines you use?
You're talking about for like our scanners and our, so we use HART and our Civic.
What was that?
HART, H-A-R-T, and then it's InterCivic.
And is that through a third party vendor?
It's through HART, that's the company. They're based out in Texas, but they have a lot of localities. I know they do like Prince William, Madison County, a bunch in the area use HART. And that's where we get our scanners and then our TouchWriter, which is our ADA compliant ballot marking device.
Who calibrates the voting machines, and can you explain the process?
I cannot explain the process. I will get Bob in just a second, and he can explain it to you if that's okay. But it is Bob. He is one of our voting equipment techs. We have three voting equipment techs in our office. We have Bob, we have Grant, and we have Laurel. That process actually takes place tomorrow. We are all set to get everything calibrated, cleaned, and go through the steps. Hart gives us a list and a process that we go through to make sure everything is calibrated and taken care of. And that happens, you know, well before the election. But when we do the election day LNA testing or logic and accuracy testing with our board, where party representatives are present, I would be present, and then all of our voting equipment techs as well, they double check and confirm that calibration. Give me just a second, I can get Bob and he can explain it to you.
You said the next question, I just want to go back to what you just said. You said you do invite the party representatives?
Yes, the party. We invite the party chairs, so it just depends if they come or if they just send someone else from their party. But
and
we notify the party
traditionally
chair.
Here, does everyone participate or they don't participate?
So both parties typically participate. We do invite both parties for primaries as well. But for example, for this past June primary, where it was just a Democratic Party primary, just the Democratic Party representatives came.
Gotcha.
Left to go over to the warehouse and
get
the
okay.
equipment. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries.
We're doing all of the calibration and everything tomorrow, so he's getting prepped for everyone else today.
But it's a lot to do. Okay. Are your voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No. None.
If they're not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated?
Are you saying again for the scanners now?
Yes. Your machines, mm-hmm. how are they updated each election cycle?
So they are done when we do the logic and accuracy testing, everything is uploaded for each election. As far as updating that, as of right now, they are compliant with the state, but there are new standards, so we will need an entire system update prior to, I believe it's June of 2022. That we're doing a whole system-wide update because that is required now with the new upgrade that the state put forth and just approved. But at logic and accuracy testing, that's when everything is updated. Everything is uploaded. They check to make sure all information is accurate. We have test ballots that are scanned to make sure everything is scanning accurate.
Okay. I'm a little bit more about the updates that occur. Mm-hmm. So do you have a third party that's doing the updates?
The upgrade?
Is it the vendor?
Yes, the vendor will take care of that. And that goes through a long process with the state, and it actually just got certified, I believe, last month. So we have about a year or so to get that taken care of.
The next series of questions is about COVID and mm-hmm. how your office was able to deal with that.
Okay.
As an election professional, do you think that the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID has weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no changes in election integrity?
I think election integrity has strengthened, but I think a lot of voters' mindset in election integrity has weakened, if that makes sense. I think a lot of them doubt the election process more now. We get more questions and more concerns about you know, if we are doing everything correctly, or how does this work, or how does that work? But I don't think anything with election integrity at all has weakened.
Did your office receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training, staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purpose from outside of the state of Virginia?
No, not outside of the state. We received CARES Act funding from the state.
A lot of localities receive money from the Center for Technology and Civic Life.
Not that I am aware of, not since I have been here. So if we did, I don't want to quote on that 100%.
No, that's fine.
But not since I have been here, we did not receive anything.
So you received your CARES Act. Everybody did. Okay, effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming election?
So we, are you saying for the witness signature?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So witness signature, it is just required to have a witness signature there. It does not have to be a signature match or anything like that. We do not, our staff is not responsible for, you know, any sort of signature auditing or anything like that, but it is just required for there to be the witness signature there. So our biggest concern right now is voter education and making sure that voters know, because our huge concern for this upcoming election is that a lot of voters were first-time voters, or the first time that they began voting by mail was during the pandemic and when everything was just opening back up and it wasn't the no-excuse early voting. And so for the past three elections, there has been no witness signature required. And this one, it will. So they're used to not having to have it, so they aren't going to realize that it is required now.
So it's going to be a lot of curing.
So it's going to be a whole lot of curing ballots.
Yes, that is a huge concern.
So that is the biggest concern, is just making sure voters know that it is required now, whereas, you know, the first three times that they voted by mail, it was not.
That's a good point there. There's a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you have your drop boxes located, and what's your chain of custody procedures for checking those boxes?
For our ballot box here at the office, or on election day, or both?
Any of the ballot boxes. Some large localities, they were located in rec centers or libraries.
Got
so
it.
We're asking, like, where were they located?
Got it. So we only have one ballot box besides our precinct boxes on election day, and so that one is actually outside of our office. It is bolted to the ground. It is under 24/7 surveillance by camera. And it's not fully exposed to the open, so it's accessible 24/7, but it is covered. It's under, you know, the city hall annex building here.
And it has a video.
And it's under the 24/7 camera.
When that box is being checked,
mm-hmm.
who normally checks the box?
So it is typically the registrar, so myself and at a minimum one other person. So it's always a minimum of two people there. And it is checked twice a day, at a minimum of twice a day, first thing in the morning after we come in, and then prior to leaving at the end of the day. And then once it is checked, we bring the two of us, whoever would help me, so it's typically an assistant registrar or someone else here in our office, bring it in, and we bring all of the ballots in the box itself to Katie. So Katie is our senior assistant registrar, and she manages a lot of our absentee process and our absentee ballots as far as like our mailings and taking care of those lists and labels and everything. We bring them to her, where she takes the ballots out, counts them, we confirm the number that what we took out of the box is the same as what she received here in our office, then she begins the checking process, and if there's a ballot that would need to be cured, she would bring that to me.
So when you all are getting the mail-in ballots, are you getting them directly in here where a postal worker is delivering them to this office, or mm-hmm. are you having to go to the post office?
We go to the post office and pick them up from our P.O. box.
Okay.
And so the post office is two buildings down, I believe it's right here downtown. So it's our building, next door is City Hall, and then it's the post office.
And when you're picking it up from the P.O. box, what's your procedure for that?
So that would be Jamie Barrasco. She is our voter registration manager. She typically handles the mail, so she would go pick them up, or myself. It has to be a manager here on staff would go pick them up.
And that's just one person picking up the mail?
Typically just one person. Just because we always have to keep a manager here in our office as well.
Was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have any video monitoring, like something glitched or whatever, the reason might be?
No, it did not.
Who was responsible for reviewing the video, and were party observers present if there was a review?
There was no review, but if someone would be responsible, I know our city physical security officer has access to it. Our police department has access to it. I have access to it, but it was never reviewed, and there was never any reasoning to. So it
has a camera on it. Is someone in the police department monitoring a screen all the time?
Monitored all the time. It could be, but from what I'm aware, I think it's just something that they casually go through. But it is stored, you know, indefinitely. It's not something that will.
And different localities do it different. Some of the localities had drop boxes that were under video monitoring, but the sheriff's department or the police department could see the camera. You know, it was like a multi-window camera system. So because everything's different, that's why we're asking the specific questions. Not trying to infer that anything was wrong.
No, no.
Okay. All right. Would you provide training and support or designate other groups to provide training and support for an Election Day page program? Or do you all participate in the page program?
We do participate in the page program. We did not have any pages for this past election. There was just no one had reached out, no interest in it. But we typically do have trainings for the page program and do offer it for any students that would like to participate.
Would you authorize, as the registrar, the acting registrar, you have the authority to authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives in the polls on Election Day? Would that be something you would consider?
Yeah, absolutely.
And would you authorize, or have you ever authorized, international nonpartisan observers for election monitoring organizations? So in Richmond area, they have representatives from other countries that come and sit in. Have you all ever participated in that?
We have not, that I am aware of. We would not be against it, as long as that would be something I would take to the Department of Elections for them to approve of, and as long as they gave the okay, I would be fine with that.
Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
Yes.
And do you have observers who are here on a regular basis from both parties while you're taking in-person absentee ballots?
For the November general election of 2020, we had a representative from the Democratic Party here every day. We did not have anyone from the Republican Party that I am aware of at all, but we did have someone from the Dems every day. And sometimes it would be one person, and they would just come for a couple hours. It'd be someone all day,
like,
or they
sampling
would like switch between other people, and they would go around like the localities and swap in and out. Just typically at least one person every day.
Do you have a publication that you provide your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Yes.
Do you all just use the State Board of Elections
handbook?
And I think that is it. Do you have any questions for us?
I don't think so.
So that's pretty much it. See, it wasn't too hard.
No, not too bad.
It's all basic information here. Now, how many full-time employees do you have here? Just curious.
We have. So it would typically be three full-time. as of right now, it's only two, just with me, where I would typically, the deputy registrar position is a full-time position, as well as the registrar, but since I'm acting registrar, there's no one currently in the deputy position, and then we have our senior assistant registrar, and then we have, bring it, Josh, Laurel, James, and then we have four employees that are, they're considered long-term temp. They work 30 to 39 hours a week, so more than part-time. But
so four long-term temps.
Yeah, that's what they're considered here in Charlottesville. Okay. They're permanent employees. They just, their hours are 30 to 39. That's how they classify it. I'm not sure. It's weird.
Gotcha.
Did you guys have any follow-up questions or any curiosities while we have her attention?
No.
Feel free to ask.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to cut this off now.